Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday, April the 21st, 2021, 4:21:21, 15 minutes past the hour. And we are going to shift gears here this hour and come to a local issue that we have talked a lot on this show about. We've talked to the mayor about it and the police chief. And in an effort as a community station to keep you informed about what's going on, we will continue to follow this story. Just to give you a little background, and we've done a lot of this on the station, but I'm going to say about a month ago now, a little over a month ago, we learned that $1.28 million had been paid by the auditor's office here in Marion, city auditor's office, to the state of Ohio. This was a mistaken payment that should have gone to the IRS. We believe this happened last year. Then we come into this year and we find out that this had happened. And we also learned that even though at that time the money had not been recovered from the state, the $1.28 million, that another $1.28 million had been paid to the IRS. And there was some question of who authorized that. Did city council know that that had even happened? Does city council have to know that that happened? At this point, I believe what we know is that the money is and has come back from the state, so that has been recovered. But as of last week, a committee was formed, given approval by city council, to investigate this whole subject. And when the mayor was on last, he'll be on again next Tuesday, when he was on last, there are still a lot of questions to be answered in this whole case. But a lot of people in the community want to know, why are we still talking about it? Why does it need investigating? So on and so forth. So because of that, we have invited Ayers Ratliff to come on. He is city councilman in the second ward, Democratic councilman in the second ward. He's on the committee that I believe is investigating this incident. And this hour, hopefully he will shed some light on this and some other things. Ayers, how you doing?
Doing very well. How are you doing?
Doing great. Now, in the recap briefly there of what has happened, is there anything that needs to be tweaked that I said?
The biggest thing, and I know, you know, the biggest thing that hit the paper and a little bit of what you said too, is that the committee was passed by city council to be formed. I am the president pro tem of council. So one of my duties as president pro tem is to do the committee assignments. We pass it at the end of our last city council meeting. So at the next city council meeting is when I will announce who's actually on the committee, who will chair the committee, and who is the other two members sitting on it. I had asked the other council members at that time to, you know, send me a text, an email, call me, and let me know if they are or if they are not interested in serving on it. And so, you know, the committee hasn't even been fully formed because it doesn't even have any members yet.
Now, as far as the committee goes, is there a particular size that this committee can and cannot be?
So it was passed, like every other committee that we have, that it is a three-member committee. And I know that there was some talk about, you know, it needs to be fair and you need to have an even number and have two R's and two D's on there. But if anything were to ever come to a vote, I am a firm believer that you can't have an even number on any committee ever. It's, you're asking for problems. And, you know, we also have two eyes on city council. So, I mean, I don't want to limit any scope just to, you know, R's and D's and cut any eyes out right from the start.
So is this a three-person committee including you or in addition to you?
So it is a three-person committee, period. I'm not even 100% sure it is going to include me. I'm the one who made the motion to form the committee. And, you know, then again, I do the only thing that I know 100% sure at this point is that I do not want to chair the committee. And that's the only decision I have made as of this point. There's still some other time for some other council members to let me know if they are or if they are not willing to serve on it. I've heard from several, but have not heard from several of the others.
Now, why don't you want to chair the committee?
You know, from the very start, when our city auditor came in and, you know, fired every staff member that he was allowed to on the first day, I have been critical of him from the very start. And I don't want the fact that, you know, I think he started off on the wrong foot and has made, you know, a plethora of mistakes since then, this being the most recent and the biggest. You know, I don't want anything to say, well, you know, Ayers is doing this because it's personal. Ayers is doing this, you know, because, you know, he thinks he's doing a bad job. You know, I don't want any of that to taint the wishes of the committee.
Now, as far as the committee goes, has there been a lot of response from people saying they want to be on the committee or that they do not want to be on the committee or a mixture of both?
I have had no one say that they do not want to be on the committee. I've had four people reach out to me and say that they are willing to serve. Nobody has said, you know, I want to be on it. They've just said, you know, either I want to be considered or, you know, I am willing to serve.
Now, is this a mixture of Democrats, Republicans, and independents, or is it?
It is.
Okay. Now, as far as picking the members for this committee, how will that happen?
You know, I do pride myself. I'm the one who chose the committee members at the start of this term. I think they've probably been the most fair of any president pro tem, you know, in any at least recent history, in that I have, I make sure that whoever is the chair of the committee, that the opposite party is the vice chair. And, you know, I also have both Republican and Democratic chair people on the committees that I have set forth for this year. I just, you know, I think it's important to take politics a lot of times out of this kind of stuff. You know, we're here to do a job. You know, it is politics during the political season to get elected, and there is an election season. But even you have to separate yourself, and you have to do the job at the same time.
Let's talk about this committee to investigate. What exactly will they have the ability to do that has not heretofore been done in regard to this?
So what that they will have the ability to do is, you know, instead of at the end of our council meeting, and then we have a discussion at the end when, you know, people are kind of tired, it's getting late, Zoom, I just don't think that Zoom meetings are as probably productive as in-person meetings. You know, we've talked a lot about it, and we've talked about it several times, but we've never actually truly focused on it. And that's what this committee can do, is that its sole purpose is to focus on what happened, what went wrong, and, you know, try to either, you know, educate or make changes so that this kind of stuff doesn't happen again. Because, you know, the problem is that, like I've said, there has been a plethora of issues with our auditor's office. And there's never any ownership for any of it. There's never any learning from any of it. And, you know, things can't continue to go on that, you know, almost $1.3 million is spent out of the city coffers, and city council doesn't know about it, the mayor doesn't know about it, the law director doesn't know about it, the city treasurer doesn't know about it, nobody knows about it. And, you know, we think there's $1.3 million sitting in the coffers that isn't there. And, you know, we can't act like that, and we can't have no checks and balances in any form of government, because that's when things can go really, really south very quickly.
When will the members of this committee be chosen?
That will be at our next city council meeting this coming Monday.
This coming Monday. Now, before we talk about this particular issue and how it all came to be from your perspective, the $1.28 million, excluding that, when you say that there has been a plethora of issues with this auditor, let's say that, from the start of his term until this particular moment, what are those issues that maybe the general public listening is not aware of?
You know, and I went through a whole list of them a few city council meetings ago. Some of the highlights is that our Lowe's charge card in the city's name was terminated because we did not pay our bill. The electricity in City Hall was almost turned out because we didn't pay the bill. We've had a whole issue of bounce checks because checks weren't done right and checks weren't cut right, and we didn't have right monies in right accounts, and we didn't have right account numbers on the checks that we sent out. We've had lost payments in our city income tax department. And, you know, those are, I guess some of the highlights, and, you know, to name a few that I think are some of the worst.
Why do you believe that stuff happened? Is that normal?
No, and it's never happened before. And, you know, when I brought this stuff up in public, you know, the auditor and one of his deputy auditors, they want to say it was Lowe's fault, and it was Ohio Edison's fault, and it's the bank's fault, and it's always everybody else's fault. It was the payment agent's fault. It was COVID's fault. It was the post office's fault. And it's always everyone else's fault, and we continuously make these problems, which are causing late fees and you know, additional cost and additional time, and it's costing the taxpayer dollars, and things aren't getting any better.
What do you chalk this up to at this point?
Well, you know, I chalk it up to the fact, and I say this many times, is that elections have consequences. And, you know, voters as a whole, really, it is an important job. It is a job that, you know, sometimes I think can get taken for granted. And, you know, there's a lot of homework that goes into an educated vote about the experience that the person has, the knowledge that the person has, and the capabilities that the person has. And, you know, when you elect the wrong person for the wrong job, you know, many mistakes can happen. And you can elect the wrong person to be a county commissioner, and you really don't feel effects of that. You can elect a wrong person to be a city council person or a state representative or, you know, a senator, or because they're one of several decision makers. But if you elect the wrong person at a job that is an active job that has a task to do, like an auditor, like a treasurer, like a, you know, law director, that has severe repercussions if you have the wrong person in the wrong job. And, you know, I have a fundamental belief that everybody can learn, everybody can get better, but you have to have a mindset that you made a mistake and that you're willing to learn from it before you can actually relearn.
For people who say this is just a political thing, and I think that has been said by members in of other the Republican Party at this point.
Correct.
What do you say to that?
You know, I mean, I'm sorry that they can't see past that. Because, you know, like I said, I have a job to do. The other city council members have a job to do. When the motion was made to form this special committee, both D's, R's, and I's voted yes. And actually, both R's and I's voted no. So, you know, it did not fall on party lines. Every Republican wasn't like, no, that you're just trying to get somebody or make somebody look bad. And every, you know, that's not how that it has played out to this point. And, you know, I just want to remind everyone, as actually a council person did several council meetings ago, when Kelly Carr first became auditor, we had some bumps in the road then. And, you know, it just took a different path because she took ownership of those. And I was very, very critical of her in the very beginning also. But she learned the job, and she was an excellent auditor, starting at least halfway through her first term.
This particular relationship between Auditor Landon and Mayor Schertzer. Mayor Schertzer has been on. We have talked about this. Mayor Schertzer has talked about setting a meeting. I believe it's a monthly meeting that Auditor Landon has not attended a whole lot of times. And I think he even referred, Mayor Schertzer, to this relationship as being a strained relationship. Do you see that? And if so, why do you think that is?
You know, I don't know. But when I look at the situation, and I believe that our auditor has a strained relationship with council as a whole, I think our auditor has a strained relationship with me personally. He has a strained relationship with the mayor, with the safety director, with the service director, with the law director. You know, it can't always be everybody else. And when everybody else is working together, I think one of his deputy auditors, tremendous guy. In fact, if I woke up tomorrow morning and they said, you know, you have to step in as city auditor and you're now running the office, I would keep Martin Watts in my office. And again, I don't care that he's a D or an R. He is a conscientious, good employee that really tries hard. And, I'm glad that he has him, because I don't know where the office would be, you know, without him. And I've actually told Martin personally, you know, I'm really glad that you're working up there, because, you know, I have faith in your judgment and abilities. And, you know, I just, you know, it's a really tough situation when you have an office that is vital to the workings of the city, that is just making as many mistakes as this one's making.
If we take the politics out of it, the D's and the R's and the I's, and as you just said, Martin, you feel you would want him to stay in the office, but yet you feel that the city auditor, Robert Landon, has a strained relationship, as you said, with council, with yourself, with the mayor, with a lot of other people. We're citizens of Marion. I mean, to live you have to live in the city to be a council person. When it comes to Robert Landon, then, who we're talking about, why do you think there is that strained relationship when people in his office don't share that same strained relationship with members of city government?
You know, like I said, it can't always be everybody else's fault. So it's tough to ask me or the mayor or the law director, like, you know, why do you get along pretty well with everybody else but not with this guy, when this guy doesn't seem to get along with virtually anybody? I don't know why that is.
Well, I guess the basic thing before we move on to exactly what happened here, which I think is important for the listening audience to know, when you say doesn't get along, what is the basis for that? Is it conversation? Is it no conversation? Is it tenseness when you're around? What exactly, define not get along and strained relationship with another human being in city government.
So honestly, the relationship that I have with our city auditor is actually relatively non existent. You know, I am at the point that I trust him so little personally that I won't have an interaction with him outside of a city meeting. You know, I find him disingenuous, and the things that you talk about when they come out later, somehow he has a completely different take on what the conversation is and what was said and what came out of that discussion than what really came out of it. And I don't know why, but that just seems to be a pattern, you know, over and over and over again. And that's why I choose to have any communication either in writing or in a public forum.
Let's get to the whole issue with the $1.28 million mistakenly paid to the state, should have gone to the IRS. When did this all start, as you understand now? Take us through when the mispayment happened to when the IRS got paid as well without recovering the money, to when city council found out about this, and anything that's happened since. Just kind of tell the story to the community here. What happened?
Okay, so I want you to take what my version with a complete grain of salt, because I don't know that I know what happened. And that's why I thought it was extremely important, because to have this committee to find out what happened. But it seems to me that our city auditor may have not known that when you hold out taxes from someone's check, that you are supposed to forward those taxes to the taxing authority. And I don't know that he knew that when you have city employees and you are withholding federal and state taxes, that you actually have to forward those on, and that's your responsibility. And I don't even know that he knew that. So it's my understanding that when he became aware that our payments were not being made to the IRS, I don't think that he knew that you had to make a payment to both the state and to the federal, which, you know, I mean, I don't understand. If you're an adult and you've had a job and you have filed taxes, you know that you have multiple tax returns to file and either owe multiple places or get a refund from multiple places. So all the money got sent to one place, which was the state of Ohio. And then I think in a rectified situation of that for a second payment, they, in the auditor's office, didn't know where to send the money. So then they used wrong account numbers, which, again, it's my understanding that you use your federal EIN number, which is on everyone's W-2 that works for the city, or every 1099 that is sent out from his very office. So I don't know how that he didn't know the number to send it to. So then he sent everything to the wrong place. Then he got another letter that said, you still haven't made your payment. Now, mind you, I believe this would be the third letter that he received from the IRS. Nobody outside of his office knew that there was a problem. So he got a third letter, and then he realizes, wow, we've spent all this money and we've sent it to the wrong place. But he takes it upon himself to do another $1.2 million, and after that he's figured out where it should have went, he sent that also. So we spent, you know, almost a little over $2.5 million at that point was used to pay a, $1.68 million bill. And then he was working on recovering that money back. And the issue, A, that I have is that it should have never happened to start with, but B, nobody knew about it. And then he went in and tried to cover up the mistake by using another $1.2 million of money that he was not allocated to spend, of money that he was not authorized to spend, And he went ahead and just took it upon himself and unilaterally decided to spend the money. And, you know, nobody that's taken any basic government class of checks and balances of our governmental system would ever think that those actions are correct.
Now, based on this, Auditor Landon did release a timeline. Now, I can't read this entire thing on air, but it's been available for people. He puts dates in there. But at the very end, in his own words, what he says was, after he gives everybody the timeline of what happens, he says, if you remove all the politically motivated conversation and speeches, you will find that we discovered a mistake and attempted to correct it in a proper and timely manner. That is how he ends the timeline, Auditor Landon, that was sent to the media. What do you make of that? Well, first of all, what do you make of the timeline, which I'm sure you've seen?
First of all, it is the third timeline that he has given. The first two would be verbal timelines that he gave to city council. So either he has, moving issues in his office that he has re-remembered things that happened at a certain time or the things that didn't happen at a certain time, or timelines are being written to advantage us today to try to get us out of this mess. And, you know, I think it's kind of the latter of the two. But that is why that we need to explore this and find out what happened and find out what we need to do as a council, as a community, so that our money is protected and that our money is being spent properly and judiciously, so that we are not wasting the taxpayer dollars. You know, we had money that we should be have been getting interest on that was inside of the bank that we were not collecting interest on, and we are probably going to have late fees and fines and penalties to the IRS because we paid things 9 months late. And when you're paying that large of a sum 6 months, 9 months, a year late, your late fees and interest and penalties can be huge. And, we can't waste people's tax dollars. And, I would just say that, he wants us to take politics out of it. Money is not political. And, when you misspend a dollar or when you misappropriate a dollar, that's not a Republican dollar and that's not a Democrat dollar. It's a taxpayer dollar. And I will do everything in my power and my authority as a city council person of the city to make sure we are spending every dollar and using every dollar correctly.
A big question a lot of people have had about this, citizens, is has the money at this point been returned from the state, and how much money potentially could be lost because of this mistake?
So yes, the misspent money has been returned to the city coffers. I'm going to say that we lost, anywhere between $5,000 and $15,000 or so in interest. And I think we could have $50,000 to $100,000 in late fees and fines and penalties from the IRS. So, I think that this could very easily be a six-figure mistake, which we don't have room in our city budget for six-figure mistakes.
Now, in this line of this current timeline, if you remove all of the politically motivated conversations and speeches, you will find that we discovered a mistake and attempted to correct it in a proper and timely manner. Definitely admitting there was a mistake there, but certainly saying that a lot of this has to do with politics, which is what we have heard quite a bit of from the Republican Party through statements in Marion over the last couple months when it came to charges that were levied against Auditor Landon and John Matthews from the 2019 election, I believe it was. Why is this becoming a Republican-Democratic issue on the local level? I've covered Marion politics for a long time. I did not used to see that sort of thing locally, and certainly not press releases like this.
You know, me either. I mean, I've been on city council for 16 years. I have never seen it either. And, you know, I know that you had asked earlier about strained relationships. It's these kind of issues that make those strained. And, you know, I never had an issue with Auditor Kramer. I never had an issue with Auditor Carr. Never had an issue with Mayor Kellogg. Never had a real issue with Mayor Schertzer. You know, we have disagreed on several issues, but you're going to have that over a 16-year span. Everything with our auditor is black and white, political. They're out to get me. You know, I can't trust them because they're of the other political party. I can't. And I've never served with anyone quite like him.
Now, when we look at this, there seem to be two big issues as it relates to the job. Now, you talk about the changing of timelines that Auditor Landon has presented in regard to this. Is that something that can, should be done? Is there any repercussion for doing something like that?
You know, other than the public knowing that they're, you know, you have a guy trying to pull the wool over their eyes. You know, he is an elected official, elected to a term. You know, I don't know that there's any repercussions for not telling the truth while that you're in office. I mean, political figures do it from top to bottom all day, every day. So, you know, I wish we could keep, you know, Washington and Columbus politics and the style of it out of Marion, but, you know, it seems to be here now. So, you know, again, I wish that there was something that we could do for an elected official that's not honest with the public, but, you know, I don't know that there really is.
Aside from that particular issue, the other issue, and I've heard people talk about this in small groups who have no political position in Marion, and that is, did the auditor have the authority to pay the IRS before the money was recovered by the state when city council, the mayor, nobody knew that this had even happened? Now, this seems to a lot of people like an answer that should have a yes or no, that there should be, we shouldn't have to form committees. There should be some rule book somewhere that should say, does the auditor have the authority to do that? What's the answer to that?
The answer is no. He did not have the authority to do it. It doesn't even make sense that he would have the authority to do it. You know, when everything in government has a checks and balances, there are branches of government, there's processes of government, and the process is that the mayor's office makes a tentative budget, gives it to council. Council can tweak it, pass it, fail it, send it back to the mayor, do whatever that they want to do with it. But we passed the budget. We passed a certain amount of money to be allocated to all of these areas. And when you have a budget passed that has X amount of dollars allocated for certain things, you can't spend $1.2 million more than what was allocated without coming in and saying, I need you to appropriate more money because we have made a mistake and we're trying to get the money back. But right now we have to send this to the IRS. That's the proper way to do it. You had to come back to council. You had to alert us that there was a problem, and you had to have authority by more money being allocated from city council to be able to pay the bill twice.
Well, this brings up an interesting point to a lot of people then. If he did not have the authority to do it, and that is written somewhere that not in the process. I think even Auditor Landon at this point admits that that was done. I think everybody in City Council agrees they did not know that it had been done. The mayor on this program has said he did not know that it had been done. So if it was done, he admits it was done, the auditor, and we know that it was wrong and couldn't have been done. Why is that issue, why does that need investigating?
Well, because, first of all, we have not been actually given when it was done, how it was done, and I think we need to know those things. You know, we are stuck with this auditor for the next 2.5 years. If, you know, I would like to get a grasp on what's going on in that office. If he needs more help, if he needs somebody to come in, if we need a consultant, if we need whatever to happen, I would rather pay money to a consultant than I would continuously pay bounce check fees and late fees, have electricity almost be shut off, pay $100,000 fines and penalties and interest for paying our taxes late. It would be way better to the taxpayers that we get the guy some extra help than it would be continuously to run like this. And so, you know, one thing that I would love to come out of this committee is what we need to do as a city to rectify the situation.
Different than the change timeline issue, if this was done without authority, and as I said before, if I believe Auditor Landon does admit that this was done, and everybody's aware that it was done, and if, as you said, he did not have the authority to do it, is there any repercussion for that? Because I think a lot of people would say, if there is no repercussion, then what's the point?
You know, I believe that there is. But, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek here, you know, be careful, Scott, because you're starting to get political.
Well, now, why would you say that's political?
Because that's what would happen if City Council came and tried to step in, or the law director came and tried to step in.
Now, is that not happening, possibly, because it would be seen as political?
I don't know, but I think at this point, you have to dot every T, or you have to dot every I and cross every T, because things are being, you know, there's a microscope on every situation here with this party and with this particular person. And so, you know, you have to tread lightly and correctly, and I think that's what we're doing.
For people who don't follow city government as closely as maybe somebody involved, or maybe even somebody in the media, when, take everybody's name out of this particular equation, take the whole issue out of the equation, when something is done by a city official that they're not allowed to do, is that a law being broken? Is that a mistake? Is that, what would the punishment be for somebody who did something they did not have the authority to do in general?
You know, I think that's what we need to explore. And I think that common sense would tell you that the situation is not right. Is this something that is going to come out in our next city audit? I would sure be shocked if it didn't. Is it something that the state could recommend that there be a removal or charges filed? Absolutely. Is it something that we just say, you know, we need some education here, we need a consultant to come in to teach the guy how to run his office? It could be something to where we do a public censure. It could be, you know, it could be a whole plethora of things. It could be something where council says, you know what, we don't see any issue here. I know that on social media there's been a couple of council people, at least one in particular, that keep saying that there's nothing to see here, that this is all, you know, just a bunch of political hoax. I don't have a conclusion of what I think should happen, until I actually hear the facts and hear the facts that I trust and believe.
What are you waiting to hear? Not necessarily in bad regard for Auditor Landon, but what don't you have an answer to today that you need to have an answer to make a decision on repercussions?
So I need to see, first of all, what the repercussions are to the taxpayer. I don't know what the fines, interest, and penalties are yet. So I don't know how big of a mistake that this was to the taxpayers of the city. I have not seen any letter from the IRS. I don't know what the IRS told. You know, I have not been able to talk to this third-party vendor payer company that he keeps blaming for sending the wrong payment to the wrong person. It's my understanding that that's not even in the scope of practice of what this third-party vendor even does. So, you know, I don't even know if he's being honest with us. And I think if he has lied multiple times in the public to help further cover up this mistake and problem, I will think much more negatively on the fact than if he's been honest with us.
We've got about 5 minutes left, and I appreciate your candor on this, because I think it's important for the people listening. But when it comes to this issue, I think another thing that people don't understand, because the mayor has said things very similar to this, we don't know. Auditor Landon has an office in this city. Why don't we know? Why are these documents not obtainable? Why is nobody talking to the third-party vendor? Why has this not happened in over a month now since this came to light?
Well, that is a very good question of why that we don't know. And when the auditor was asked for the documents by several different city officials, he gave a few and would not give them all. Then public record requests were made by members of council, and they still are waiting to receive the records. So, you know, when the guy who made the mistake that covered up the mistake holds the information and will not give it to you and will not share it with you, you know, please don't have your party come out and say that this is political when the other elected officials are trying to figure out what happened and when and by who.
When somebody does not give information, when you make a public records request, you know, media makes those all the time, they come.
Yes.
Why hasn't that happened here, or why hasn't there been repercussions at least for that, not turning over documents that were requested?
So, you know, the repercussion is that when a record request is not fulfilled, then the city can be fined. Now, no elected official is going to push that the city pay a fine, because, you know, that's not what we do. But as far as why that the information has not been given, that's not a question that you can ask me, because that's sure not a question that I have the answer to. You know, that's a question that you and I share.
Should Auditor Landon be in this position today? You've talked about a laundry list of mistakes that have been made, penalties that have been accrued, and we're only about halfway through his term. This is a big issue. Obviously, a committee is going to be formed to investigate this. Should he be sitting in that position today? In your opinion, you're a councilman.
Okay. So here's my, and you may say that this is a political answer. Did I vote for Auditor Landon? Absolutely not. Would I vote for him again? Absolutely not. Did I encourage people not to vote for him? Absolutely. But he should be sitting in the chair because people of this community believed in him. People in this community voted for him. I hope that by the time that this term is over and he runs for re-election, that people have had their fill of six-figure mistakes and problems, and that we can change in the future. But until he either decides himself that, you know, he can't fulfill the duties and that he made promises that he doesn't have the capabilities to do the job, and he resigns, I don't know that there's anything that we can do to make him. And, you know, and I don't even know that we should, or we should even try, because, again, the people elected him to a term. I wholeheartedly agree and respect the democratic process, and I respect the fact that he won the election.
Ayres, with about a minute left here, based on everything you've just said and everything we've talked about in the last 45 minutes, being a council person, as based on what you just said, do you feel, because of what has been done, in your opinion, should Auditor Landon resign?
If I was him, I would. I think a person of integrity would. And I'll leave it at that.
And just to be clear, because I don't think a lot of people had heard this before, when this audit comes down, when the committee does this investigation with about 30 seconds here, there could be repercussions, charges, I think you had said, and even possibly removal. Not saying that's going to happen, but there are consequences for what happened. This is not just a mistake. We've recovered the money, and let's go on down the road. Is that right?
That will be up to the committee to make their recommendation to council. I just gave you some of the different avenues that that committee could recommend.
If people say, and there's 10 seconds here as we're running out, if people say, you're choosing that committee, you possibly could sit on that committee, you're going to choose people who you know don't like the guy, what do you say to that?
First of all, I have a job to do. I would do it to the best of my ability. And, you know, the only promise, or the only thing that I have decided so far is I do not think I should chair the committee.
Will you sit on the committee?
I don't know.
Okay. Ayres Ratliff, Democratic 2nd Ward Councilman. Thank you, Ayres.
Thank you so much.
As the ambulances and fire engines come blowing through. Well, that's very interesting. We're out of time, but I'm going to be on with Glenn Coble, and he was listening to some of that, so we'll talk about it and some other stuff in about 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
He knows I have you to fix it, or either come to the house and cook. They would eat to the dining room, and you would eat in the kitchen. You come in the back door, and you leave in the back door.